Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh College Podcast number 388, which absolutely stuns me that I've almost done 400 of these things.
More closer if you, because you had those red chairs. And
right,
stuff
right.
Like
yeah,
that.
We're probably, yeah, yeah. I don't know how many of those we did, but yeah. Me and Adam on a lazy Saturday sitting around recording. So, sadly, I was not recording during our fun discussion of gold balls. That was comedy gold. So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Gold Balls,
Brandon,
Spencer.
Okay, we will refer to you that for the rest of the evening.
No problem.
So a little bit of sad news. One of our podcasters, well, she was never really a podcaster. She was here for one podcast.
Yeah, she was.
But Maggie, my beloved golden doodle, we had to say goodbye to on Monday. So I did not read a ton because of that, because dealing with her all weekend. But yeah, she was here because there was one podcast I remember where the family was gone, and I didn't want her home all day alone, so I went and got her and brought her back, so she was actually here for a podcast. That was a while ago, but so kind of a podcast member. So that's my big story. I did ask for questions. I didn't get any, but I did remember right at 5 o'clock, so I did my part. But yeah, we didn't get any. No questions. So I apologize for that.
I guess it's because we don't do a thorough enough job of answering them.
That could be.
Or we just solved all of life's mysteries already. There's no more questions to be asked.
I highly doubt that.
That could be.
You're a half as, or a glass is half full kind of guy, aren't you?
No, nowhere near. It's like a quarter empty.
No.
Oh, a quarter full, I guess.
No, a glass is always 100% full. It's just there may be air in it, but it's still full.
I don't have a glass. That's the problem.
Well, then, by that logic, the only thing that's ever empty is a vacuum.
Yes. Okay. Fair enough.
Harsh. Harsh. As long as we're on the same page.
Bank account.
Yeah, so I guess the concept of being empty, the construct of empty, is relative to your situation.
Yeah. It's all relative.
I guess a glass could be empty.
No. Glass is not empty. Unless it's a glass in a vacuum.
If it's relative, though, if we're not saying it's definitive terms, then depending on your mindset, your situation, how you define empty in the moment.
If there's air in it, it is therefore not empty. Unless you're in a vacuum where there's no air.
I like this podcast best.
I know.
Welcome to Physics Podcast with Gold Balls and Josh.
Pat, you're involved. Are you Gold Balls?
I said I was Gold Balls. So.
Sweet. All right.
Which is better than no balls.
Yeah, I guess. Unless, like, they're encased and you still can't use them, but you have to, like, carry around these heavy gold.
You'd be like the human version of those trucks that have...
Yeah.
So those things hanging.
Or if you sit down on them, then, yeah.
It's like during the wintertime. I'm going to get a little bit colder.
That's a good point, too.
Yep. Aren't you glad you started this, Colin?
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens when you don't ask questions.
I didn't ask.
No, I'm talking to the listeners.
Oh, okay.
Instead, you get physics talk and... discussion on balls. So anyway.
Oh, okay. Don't really have any news. They came out with the August sales numbers, and DC or Marvel completely destroyed DC in all categories. But kinda. Only because, like, Marvel's top two books, one, their top book was an $8 book, the second book of the month was a $10 book, and that's certainly gonna skew dollar rankings. The thing that kind of scared me was in the top 10, there were two $3.99 books. That was a little scary to me that if we're, you know, heading that way, Batman, Superman, and Batman were the only $3.99. All the rest were $4.99 Marvel books, mm-hmm. and then a $7.99 and a $9.99.
Yeah, but I don't have the top 10 in front of me, but I'm guessing that's Carnage,
yep,
number 1, Marvel 1000 or whatever,
yep,
and then the House of X.
Yep. Powers of X and Absolute Carnage 2, which is also $5 because those are all $5. It was funny. I had my final numbers in for, I think it was Powers of X 6 that I was ordering high on, figuring people are going to want to jump on right at the end. I didn't realize they were going back up to $6 for the last issues.
Oh, wow.
Well, I bet
of that.
Once they're through the House of X and the Powers of X, once they're through Carnage, like, X-Men number 3 is not going to be in the top 10.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know.
No, this is definitely a brief respite for Marvel. Well, their number ones will, but this was an interesting case study, because normally by the time the twos come out, nobody remembers what the ones were, because they tout, you know, and every month they have a lot, Marvel has a lot of number ones in the top 10, and they're always inflated. And this was kind of an interesting way to actually see the inflated numbers and the effects of putting out 15 covers and all the, you know, shenanigans that they do, where Absolute Carnage was number one with 233,000 copies, which is great. But number two is also on the list at number 8 with 94,000 copies. So that tells me that number one number is not a real number as far as sales numbers, because there's no way stores are ordered to have 140,000 copies orphaned, where you'll buy a number one without a number two. That tells me people reached for the one in 500 and didn't care, you know, they didn't reach again. So they're literally throwing away, you know, 140,000 copies are basically waste, you know, that are never going to be read, which also then is going to deflate the market, and that book will never be worth anything in the future because now people, because they sell that.
It'd just be a spawn number one.
Right, because they can sell the one in 500, make their money, and then sell the rest of them at a buck a piece. So now they have 500 copies of Absolute Carnage in their dollar box. And so finding that book for a very low price in the future is not going to be hard. But yeah, it was just interesting seeing, you know, that's fairly dramatic because, you know, the number four book, House of X number 3, only sold 109,000 copies. So the discrepancy between Absolute Carnage 1 and 2 was greater than the number four book, you know, sold overall. So that makes me kind of look at some of those numbers and go, that's not a real sales number. They weren't, you know, whereas like how Marvel 1000 that had 206,000, there was no incentives on that one. So there was no, I don't think there were, like a 1 in 100. There may have been. I wasn't ordering 100 copies, but I don't know if there were that many of those kind of offers. So, but yeah, that was a dramatic difference to me between 1 and 2, because most of the times you don't see them because you're more focused on, oh, look what's number one, look what's number one, you know, or the number one issues that they're doing well with. They normally, there's not a lot of Marvel number twos in their top 10, although Spider-Man is always near, but Spider-Man's, you know, unique, kind of like Batman, who should always be one of their top books. So yeah, we'll see where X-Men is and Marauders and Fallen Angels and Excalibur are by issue 3.
And
X-Force, yes. So we'll see where those.
What was X-Force selling before in the last one?
I was selling about 6. Let me go. When was the last issue of X-Force?
Like 3 months ago.
Let me look at the June charts.
But yeah, I feel like that book didn't even sell 20,000 copies.
No, I read number one, and the book itself wasn't great.
That was the weird one with a young Cable, right?
Yes.
Wasn't that the last one?
The book had really funky art.
That's what I did not like about it.
And I actually liked that art. I thought it was very, indie.
So but it was like, indie on an X book might not be your best decision.
Yeah, but I think young Cable is not the best decision. But
yeah.
But that book was not terrible.
Wow, that's small print. Sorry.
I'm interested to see what the Marauders series is going to be about. Like, we're just selling the seas like that. That's going to be weird.
X-Force 8 was 19,600. Actually, let's see. So that means August should have been 10. Sorry, dead air as I click little buttons. Sorry, hang on. I'm turning. And then, of course, okay. La, la, la. Somebody talk. Pat, I can't believe you don't have anything to say.
Oh, I have plenty.
I'm sorry, gold balls. I can't believe you don't have anything to say.
No, but I don't know. I think this next X-Force will probably be...
Good news.
Yeah, they have. It seems like a better lineup.
Yeah.
Major X was below X-Force.
Good.
Oh, really?
Good.
Wow.
Oh, man. Who's on the X-Force team?
I think there's like Wolverine and... Like,
is Wolverine on multiple teams
again? Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, a Major X was well above. I apologize.
And isn't like a Cyclops and...
No, because the X-Men are Colossus. All the Summerses.
I mean, Wolverine. Colossus, I think, is supposed to be on it.
Yeah. Cyclops really isn't an X-Force guy, in my opinion.
No, yeah, no. I meant to say Colossus instead of Cyclops.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I can remember the covers, but I don't remember which. Because Apocalypse is going to be on one of the teams, right?
Regular Apocalypse or Kid Apocalypse?
Regular, I thought.
I can't remember.
I thought I saw Apocalypse. Yeah, photo, a picture, and something like that. Yeah.
I don't know. I was a huge fan of Remender's Run. That was a great team.
Yeah.
Sorry, I figured out how to sort by title. That makes things much easier.
And the uniforms were great in that.
Yeah,
the gray
uniforms, black and gray.
Keep them all, matching. Normally, I don't like it when the X-Men are
18-5. For number 10, 18-5.
But any book that's like Marvel, in my opinion, shouldn't have books that are under 20,000. Like. It's only selling 20,000 copies.
Yeah.
Because there's only, 1,500 comic book stores?
Yeah, 2,000 is the rough, so if you're ordering average of 10 or less.
Yeah.
But. So you would say for Marvel and DC, like, the top two, like, under 20,000, that's what you said?
If I was, the editor at Marvel, I would look to have, I would say, how many books do I have consistently in the top 10? And I would, Amazing Spider-Man, Uncanny X-Men, Avengers, they should be in my top 10 constantly. And that's how I would measure success. Not West Coast Avengers, selling 10,000 copies.
You're thinking small. Because one of the things that they have to do is they have to keep intellectual property moving.
Right.
So if you only have four books running through the top 10, that ain't going to cut it. You want to get as much out there.
You can
find the sleeper hit.
You can solve the intellectual property thing by the anthology series. Put Fool Killer in House of Mystery or something like that. And that way you can have a book that cycles through the deep Marvel Universe characters, keep them fresh, keep them prominent, but don't give them a 6-issue miniseries every 6 months. It just crowds the shelves.
Yeah, well, no, and I don't think they should be doing that either, but there's 10,000 characters or whatever there is in the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. They're not all... Well, I think that's the other problem, and both companies have this problem. Not every character is a main character.
Yeah.
Some are...
Or a good character.
Well, no, and that's true, too. But sometimes even a bad... Look at Kite Man.
Yeah.
Kite Man is a prime example. But, not many people have the talent to take a Kite Man and make him interesting.
Yeah.
So...
But I think that's what they need to be doing. Like, there's all this casting news about Suicide Squad. They should keep a Suicide Squad book going pretty much all the time. But just rotate through the characters and rotate through the writers and just say, hey, Suicide Squad's the book where you can do weird stuff.
The problem is to really rotate through the Suicide Squad, it means you're killing off characters.
Maybe they're getting paroled, Pat.
Yeah, but you can always...
You haven't killed anybody in like 6 months. Yeah, go ahead.
But you can always do a book where, somebody's resurrecting dead villains or dead superheroes or whatever. Like, there's always ways to retcon those. And now, like...
Welcome to Razor Ghoul's House of Resurrection.
Yeah. Exactly.
Everything was good.
Yeah, but... Or, you know, you can version those guys. You can, you know, kill off the main character and then have his daughter or his son pick up the mantle and be the new Kite Man or whatever.
Yeah, that never gets stupid.
Sorry. But I think people's tolerance for stupidity and, like, and silliness in comic books is pretty high.
Oh, I wouldn't just go there. Yeah. There's some real life stuff I would throw at that.
It's expected.
That's on fire right now.
Colin looks...
Colin.
It's like someone just stuck a thumb
No, because I'm looking at the bottom. No, so at 20,000... Captain Marvel, number 8, which was the big dramatic first appearance of the new character, was at 20,057, at number 108.
Yeah, so dramatic.
Yeah.
We can't remember.
But this cracks. This is interesting. Black Panther, you know, who they're touting and just got a second series and everything, sitting there at 18,419 copies.
Well, he's been having multiple series.
I've been buying that, but I've been buying that, but I haven't read it in a while. I'm way behind. On
Well, they can't get rid of his series anyway. It's Wakanda Forever, not Wakanda till your sales club.
It's the
Wakanda to the next movie.
What is it? The intergalactic world of Wakanda.
Is that even still going on?
No, that's still going on. That's what.
Coates
has been doing.
See, I haven't read any of it, so I didn't even know if that was still the story going on or not.
My face was for Second Coming number 2, which was just a hair under 10,000 copies, and that's where I was like, what? That's outselling just about every Marvel book for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, for
so
a
that,
movie
that
book,
shocks
me. That's pretty damn
good. It might be, but that just shocked me, because, I mean, I'm moving 30 copies, and that's more than Iron Man and Thor.
You have a
and
higher class of clients.
I do. Plus, I do talk up Mark Russell.
Well, and I think more heathen shop here.
True.
You got people in the Bible Belt. We ain't putting that Jesus comic up on them shelves, boy.
I can't wait to read number 3. I didn't get to that. I did make a point to read Riddler for tonight, so looking forward to talking about that one. But yeah, so that discrepancy. It's like, so don't take the number ones in the sales charts, because that is also showing 230,000 copies of an $8 book. So they just multiply that out. Because that one had a deep discount offer if you ordered a ridiculous amount. Stores were ordering, but they don't take that discount into account when they calculate the dollars.
But I also think you never have to worry about speculators coming in and making that, skewing that number. There's not enough speculators to move that.
Right, to move that many copies of the books. So.
Well, there used to be, but that's why you have a whole box full of Death of Superman downstairs.
Not the Death of Superman, it was the Return of Superman that nobody wanted. But I wasn't open back in
that. I think Comicron has an article about that, right? How that's the peak of the comic book industry.
What, the Return of Superman?
The week that came out is the week that more comic books were sold. Like, and the industry was biggest.
The Death of Superman started
going out.
Well, the problem was then people wanted to buy a case of it, you know, and, oh, yeah. Well, remember, they were dollar, the comics were $1.
Well, yeah,
so,
and then people thought that they were going to, you know, I'm going to retire on Superman comics.
Right. But the problem wasn't so much the Death, which sold like crazy. It was when the Return and stores ordered it like the Death, going, all people are going to be excited when he comes back, and that was the white-bagged one, and nobody wanted that. I remember a guy brought in a short box of it, thinking he was going to make a fortune. I'm like, think about this. If I sold one a week... How long would it take me to sell all of these? And I'm not going to sell one a week.
Yeah.
You know, and he kind of looked at me like, I'm like,
I will give you $10 because it is a nice box.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, so let's say one a month. How long will it take me to sell? You know, over 10 years. You know, it's like, dude.
Unless if anybody wants
theirs.
So
I regularly see those in the bags in quarter
pieces. Oh, yeah, because they can't get rid of them. Nobody wants them. I had a guy one time was all excited. It was a long box this time, and it wasn't that, but it was an issue of Crisis, but not like one of the key issues, not the Death of Supergirl or Death of Flash. It was just an issue. I'm like, what am I going to do with 300 copies of Crisis on Infinite Earths 5? You know, you know, he's like, well, it's a $10 book. I'm like, it might be, but not just... You know, well, if you had sets,
www.ebay.
Yeah, but still, you're not going to, you know.
You'd be lucky to sell an issue.
Yeah, you'll sell maybe a couple, but definitely.
If you put it on, if it's selling out a book, if you put it on eBay for $5, you might sell them all.
Yeah. It's like it's too much of a good thing. So.
That's what happens when they print a million copies.
Yeah.
Spawn number one.
That's actually still a $20 book. So, yeah, I can't really think of any news, but I wasn't super paying attention. Just store-wise, previews orders due next week, so if there's anything you want, get your orders in on the hub or let me know. New previews next week. Book club is coming up, Captain Ginger. I'm out right now, but I have more coming in Thursday. Yeah, it's about all I got going on here at the store. It's Captain's Month just to go along with Captain Ginger, just to, instead of, you know, I'm like, hey, let's change it up. So Tim made a nice little display of all sorts of Captain books, but we're not that strict. So if go with what you want.
Won't just give me the whole points on everything.
Not on everything, but if you can convince me there's a captain is related to a captain.
If I'm buying it, it's related.
No, not because you're a captain. That doesn't work. There has to be a captain in the book. That's fairly broad. Like Avengers would work. It's generally Captain America.
Pretty much any Star Trek book.
Exactly.
Except early DS9.
What's he in that? A lieutenant commander?
Commander Sisko. Okay. There's Captain Sisko later.
You were SOL on that one. Sorry. So, who wants to talk about some books they read? Because sadly, I failed you this week, but I was busy. I was petting a puppy. Dave, you look excited. You look like you want to talk about The Riddler.
I want to talk about The Riddler.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought it was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
That was,
yeah.
Oh, an analysis of the character of The Riddler.
Basically, yeah, deconstruction of The Riddler after Lex doesn't give him a gift, and he's... thinking about, you know, how he's failed in his life.
I would say it's not a deconstruction of the Riddler. It's a deconstruction of anyone who's, like, in a rut.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's really just a holistic look of anyone who's kind of, like, in a rut King doing Tut the same things and wondering.
Yeah. Maybe more than, even Batman said, maybe more than two choices.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. There's a tiger behind one of these doors.
I haven't seen King Tut in a long time.
No.
Yeah. He's so gung-ho for this two doors plan.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
His outcome was kind of sad, too, because, like, he had a restaurant.
Yeah.
He put a lot of money in that restaurant.
Yeah. So it's like, just go with the restaurant, man.
No. You better work hard, then.
Yeah, but where are they going now with the Riddler? I like that. And it was definitely the king, you know, with the sideburns and the tattoo. Or not the tattoo, the scar.
The scar.
Yeah. So I thought, you know, very interesting. But I'm very intrigued to see what the next person that picks up the Riddler does, because he definitely... left, you know, made it completely wide open that he's not going to be the goofball wearing the green hat with the question mark on it anymore. So, but keep going, Dave. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Russell, his writing is just so good, and the stuff he comes up with, and I especially love that line about why is there a dot, you know, the question mark?
Yeah.
Because every makes
it needed a point.
Yeah. It makes you wonder why, you know, questions
gives the impression,
they have a point.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
But yeah, why are you still doing things from when you were a kid? Well, it's because that was happy when he won that one trophy that he ever won and then still got beat up for it. And... oh, that was good. That was a really good book.
Oh. I laughed out loud with the King Tut and the two doors, and then the behind one is a lion. And it roars.
He just opens the other door and punches him. Yeah. But I love that he quit. He's like, you were supposed to open the drawer. No, I quit. I'm done with this. Yeah. He just walks out, and Batman is just kind of, what? Huh? Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was unexpected.
Yeah.
Batman has a plan for everything, but you have a plan for that.
No.
Yeah, and it also kind of pointed at the silliness of supervillains, where it's like, I just put a down payment on this warehouse. We need to
it out. It felt like almost a, you know, critique at Batman 66.
Oh, yeah. So... didn't King Tut used to just be a white guy? Did they correct his ethnicity.
Well, he was a white guy on the TV show.
On the TV show, and I don't really remember him at all in the comics.
Yeah. I don't recall seeing him in comics in a very long time.
Is he from the TV show originally?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe so. The only other issue I've ever remember seeing King Tut in was years ago. They had that Batman Confidential storyline series where it was just a series of like five or six miniseries and stuff like that by different creative teams. And like one of those stories, he showed up in that. And I think that was supposed to be like the first time he was like in comics. I might be wrong on that. Probably am, but. That's the only time I remember seeing him in actual comics.
So like you said, I don't know if this Riddler change is going to stick or if they're going to someone's going to continue with this storyline will be interesting to see. Continue with the Mark Russell books, Wonder Twins.
I read that.
Number 7.
I goofed, and it was funny. I actually had to talk to DC about that because... every other issue had two covers, and this was the first one that didn't. And I only got in enough to cover holds. I got exactly the right amount because normally I split the order between the two covers. And they were also sold out on Wednesday, and so I posted them saying you might want to consider a second print on this one. Where I realized the orders probably weren't real high, but because you did that, and the fact that you sold out on Wednesday, I'm guessing I'm not the only person that missed that there was only one cover and people are short.
And yes, he was a TV first villain and his first appearance in comics was the Batman Confidential.
Sweet.
You played him in the TV series, Victor? Victor Bruno?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
How did you just know that?
Yeah.
I was first thinking Victor Borgia. I thought that was wrong, so I always get his Bruno.
Then the question mark would work.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Right. Wonder Twins.
It was really good. And it was. It played very well off of the previous arc, but also it was very much like a standalone issue.
Oh, yeah. Kind of dealing with the aftermath of the Scrambler and Polymath going to jail. We're being captured and arrested and... Xan is the big hero, and Jane is feeling kind of bad that her friend is going away. Mm-hmm. And Superman asked them to be the tour guides because they're opening the Hall of Justice.
Yeah, they kind of view it as a demotion.
Yeah.
Which I think it definitely was.
But it's funny because a meteor is about to hit the Earth, and Superman and Wonder Woman are in the room with the computer when, you know, the Wonder Twins come in with the group, the tour group. as like billions of people about to die from like tidal waves and earthquakes. And, you know, we get more of the deconstruction of the heroes too. You know, Superman had a great talk with Jaina at the end about being a hero and the loneliness of doing the right thing and all that kind of stuff is just great.
Like there's at one point after these Batman after the Trinity return and they've stopped the meteor, the angry mob that had formed approaches them and they're kind of like, well, in order for us to stop the meteor, we kind of have to leave the planet, and the mob is getting belligerent and Batman says, "Oh, I've got a taser in my car."
Yeah.
And then Superman says, "No, we've got a guy for this." And then they bring out
Repulso,
who I've never seen him before.
I'm sure he's never existed before.
Yeah, that's a Mark Russell character for sure.
He's got like basically like a skunk power.
Yeah,
so he like lives in a like a cage or like a tank by himself, and then these guys. They get him out and like put him on a crane so that they can put him in the middle of the crowd to disperse the crowd.
And he's so happy to see those guards come in, and he invites them in for tacos and to watch Steel Magnolias on Blu-ray.
Yeah, very, very socially awkward, but like very nice.
Very endearing. Yeah. As for for a supervillain named Repulse.
Yeah. And then, what's her name? Jade. She's researching the ants from another planet that don't have a sense of smell.
Mm-hmm.
And then becomes one of those. Right. And then at the end of the issue, we see her with Repulso because she can, if she's in the form of that ant, she can't smell his.
Forgot about that. That was good. Yeah.
So, no, I thought that was a great book.
Great. Yeah, I'm so glad it's back for more. Black Hammer. I'm doing all the DC books here, but Black Hammer Justice League. Nobody.
No, I read the first one, but I haven't kept up.
I trade Black. I trade all that stuff.
I won't give too much away then. But
well, it's gonna be months until I read it, so.
But this starts with the Justice League, the remaining members of the Justice League questioning the Black Hammer heroes. About what's going on, and Golden Gale wants to just escape and get away from them, while Abraham Slam wants to hang around because they think they need to stick together to figure out what's going on. While back on the farm, Batman is calling the barn his Batcave now, and Cyborg finally comes out of his room and. To help Batman build this antenna, this interdimensional antenna, and they make a discovery in the farmhouse, which I won't give away since you guys are going to read it later. And then we switch to Colonel Weird with the Green Lantern Corps, John Stewart, in the Parazone, and they see what happened, you know, when the team switched realities or Earths or whatever, and something, and they see the heroes there, and Flash tries to escape the farm, and something happens, and I won't give that away either. Just read the book, because it's great. They're doing, Jeff Lemire is doing a great job with this. And I'm going to stop with those three. So we'll go on the Pat.
Okay. Batman.
I read that,
and it was funny. I've heard a lot of crap talking about this book.
I loved
it. I thought this was fantastic.
I thought it was very interesting with the... It was like Batman on vacation.
Yeah, but like somebody said, thank God the next issue that comes out is, you know, or the one that came out this week is the end of this interlude, because it was crap, and, you know, why am I reading about Tom Selleck and all this stuff? So, and
he
like,
did look like Tom Selleck.
He did,
intentionally.
But I went into this really negative, and I thought it was a fantastic issue.
Yeah. I loved it.
No, I
you didn't love it?
Oh, I'm thinking about a mustache.
Oh, okay, there
I'm
you go.
I'm thinking that's a good look.
That was.
But I understand why people wouldn't like this after the...
Right, they want to see the resolution. Right,
I get it. And the other thing is, if you don't like the banter back and forth between Batman and Catwoman...
Then you should have dropped this book a long time
ago.
Yeah.
But...
if you don't like that, and you're still reading it at issue 79, then you've caused your own problem. Like, you're the cause of your situation.
You have bigger problems.
But
there must
have all that extra money to buy something you hate.
But I know that there are dudes out there who they're reading Batman because it's Batman, and they're just white knuckling through this dialogue back and forth.
They should go see someone about that. I'm just saying, if you feel compelled to buy something, even if you hate it, just because you can't bring yourself to not buy that particular thing. You might have bigger issues at play.
Professional help.
Not trying to ding Collins sales or anything, but.
I think this issue is setting up what is a post Alfred Batman?
I don't think we're going to see a post Alfred Batman. No. I think Alfred will somehow be okay.
He's gonna wake up in his bed. Uncle Jesse, no! And it's going to be status quo.
See, I want to see him put him in a Lazarus pit so we get to see crazy Alfred. Just,
That'd be pretty cool.
Moon Knight Annual.
I read that.
Sold out before I sold my copy.
It was the perfect annual for a non-existent book.
Yeah. Like, I was surprised at how...
We get another one next week. Cool.
On how good this was. Like,
It really was good. It The Cult of Moon Knight had three artifacts. Or the Cult of Khonshu had three artifacts that Kang was trying to get a hold of him. Like, with one you could control time, with one you could manipulate time, and I think the third one allows you to kind of focus what you would do with the other two.
Yeah.
And as he's going through time, there are other Moon Knights throughout time, and like one is a Revolutionary War Moon Knight, and he has a little tri-corner cap.
Oh, yeah, I like the old Western.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of like the Western Rider almost.
Yeah,
but it was pretty cool, and you know, eventually at the end, they all join forces together at the same time to defeat Kang.
And like, this is such like such a story that like you wouldn't think would be a Moon Knight story. You know, this big time travel, like going against Kang, but like that almost makes it better because that's something typical he would go against.
Yeah, Kang is not a Moon Knight level villain. Yeah. that's a little above his pay grade, but he kept his shit together quite nicely. You didn't have the fake. Even like when Khonshu talked to him, it kind of seemed like, no, that was actually Khonshu. It wasn't just something going on in the set.
Well, and then didn't Kang talk to him too?
Yes.
Didn't he? So,
yeah.
And the art in it was really good.
It was.
So, like, I don't know, like, if these annuals are supposed to tie together somehow or something
like
that.
Just in theme. I don't think they...
Yeah, what's the boilerplate on those?
It's Acts of Evil, where they're taking on villains that are not their villains. Like the old Acts of Vengeance, where the villains got together to come up with a plan to switch heroes so that, you know, they weren't ready for them. Because, yeah, it's like Moon Knight versus Kang. That makes no sense. Deadpool versus Nightmare. You know, just things that never work. Made, you know.
But that's... Earlier we were talking about how do you get through all that IP. I think a one-shot annual, maybe, that ties all together.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to do it.
No, and I mean, Moon Knight's going to get his own book again because they're having the show on the streaming service, so they'll have to give him a book.
Yeah, and She-Hulk.
Well, there's one next week that definitely is not getting their own book. So when we get to that on the what's coming next week,
okay,
I'll point that one out.
Okay.
So,
but that's what I read.
All right. Let's see.
This is gonna be. We might be out of here before Tim.
Yeah. Venom number 18, part of the Absolute Carnage saga. So, I think I'm the only one reading this.
I'm reading the main. Okay. I haven't been reading the...
So, Venom trade ban on Venom, too.
So, if you're... what happened in the main? So, in this book, we kind of take a step, like, you know, paralleling the main story with, what is it, Robbie and Dylan?
Okay.
Or Normie and Dylan.
Okay.
And the Maker. So, they're there with the Maker, and the Maker wants to put Normie in the Scythe, which is the name that they've given to the machine that will extract the Codex. So he wants to put Normie in there, but Dylan won't let him. And then the symbiotes, four symbiotes, break in, and they're starting to attack the Maker and what's his name? The son of Venom intervenes. Not Dylan, the son of Eddie Brock, the actual son of Venom, who is also a symbiote.
I thought that was Carnage.
Sleeper?
Oh, I don't know who that is.
I think it's
okay.
His name. I have never seen this character before, but he's like green and he's black and green. Well, apparently he's been going through the cosmos, and he reveals himself to Normie and Dylan, his host, and it's this dead body. So his host is dead, but it's like a Kree soldier or something that's dead. So he's basically just animating this corpse.
Wow, that's creepy.
And they're creeped out by it. And
I agree.
So yeah, now he's being a he's like the sleeper symbiote. I think it's sleeper. I'm sure I'm messing this name up. But anyway, the good symbiote from the cosmos is kind of protecting Dylan and Normie when the Maker bursts in and like with his sound gun and like puts the good symbiote in a jar along with the other symbiotes that had just attacked. And Dylan's all peeved because he's like, no, that was a good one, not a bad one. Like, there's a lot of conflict between them. And, but I can't remember what happened. Something happens and the symbiotes get loose and they're chasing after Dylan and Normie. And they just kind of like bypass Normie to go to Dylan. So, and Dylan, like, he starts to symbiote out, like you see his eyes go black, and then Spider-Man, Wolverine, Thing, and Captain America come swoop in to stop it. So, you know, I think it's in the main story that we learned that Eddie Brock's wife, who's Dylan's mom, who we thought had a symbiote, she wasn't in the bodies. You know, she's dead, even though she wasn't in the bodies at the church from the annual, or the not the Web of Carnage series.
Okay.
Go through in the, one of the Cult of Carnage from the Web of Carnage. There's a church where they have brought all these bodies that had symbiotes, and they ripped the spines out.
So oh, gotcha. The codexes.
So they, Eddie was thinking that she was among those, but she wasn't, and they think the reason why that is because her symbiote codex went with Dylan
him.
When he
right.
was born. So that's why he's can symbiote out, even though he doesn't know he's a symbiote, he doesn't know he's Eddie Brock's son, so pretty convoluted, but it's pretty good. King Thor.
I had to sell my copy. Which is weird. I ordered it a little bit above Thor numbers, thinking that was a fair number. No, not even close. But I do have some more coming in next week.
If somebody just jumps in on this and has not been reading Jason Aaron's Thor run for years, like, this is going to be a little
confusing.
What's going on? Because this throws back all the way to before all the Mighty Thor stuff.
Okay, to like the God Butcher stuff.
With the God Butcher stuff. So, we are watching King Thor in the future. He's in a conflict with the Loki that has the Null Sword.
Okay.
And basically they have this big battle. It looks like they have Loki has pretty much almost killed Thor, and then on the last panel, basically Loki is stabbed with the Null Sword, and we see that the God Butcher, Gorn the God Butcher, is back. So there's a lot of story going up through that, but I think that's the main takeaway. But if you didn't read that,
you'd be lost. Yeah.
Like, if you skipped all the Mighty Thor stuff, you're probably okay. But if you didn't read that,
the beginning,
you're going to be completely out of it. Let's see. Silver Surfer Black, number 4. Trying to remember what happens in this one. In the last issue, he's trying to, like, get an irritation out of Ego's like core.
Okay.
And Ego says, hey, if you help me with this, I'll help you fight Null. And which part of his, the Norn's part of his arm is slowly becoming more and more like symbioted. So he, in the last issue, he realizes that it's the incubator that, it's got a name, the life machine that incubates, Galactus.
Okay.
Because this is, like, this is in the past.
Okay.
It's like a thousand, or, you know, a million years ago or whatever. So he realizes it's this cube that's going to birth Galactus, so he removes it out of, Ego, and he's going to destroy it, and because it's given him so much pain, and he doesn't want to have to go, he doesn't want Galactus to kill all of the, you know, all the people that he eventually will kill, all the planets that he'll devour, all that stuff. So he just starts to go to destroy the incubator, and Uatu, the one of the Watchers, intervenes. So that's kind of where he's, the Watcher kind of explains to him, it's like, hey, even if you, like, I can't let you kill Galactus, Galactus is a necessary balance, and even if you did kill him, it wouldn't undo all of the things, it would just set this universe down a terrible path, because it wouldn't have this balance, so I'm not going to let you do that. And he's like, hey, you're just a Watcher, you're not supposed to do that, and he's like, well, in this case, I'm going to break a rule, so.
He does that a lot.
Yeah. But, so yeah, that's, there's only one issue left, so I feel like there's a lot of ground to cover, but this has been, it's weird, because I feel like, this is by Donny Cates, but I also feel like it ties, because it's sort of like, it's talking about Null, and sort of like, because Null has been, like, over the last year in a lot of places, right? He's in the Thor books.
Right, but he was created by
Cates. Jason Aaron.
Was he?
Yeah, he was created by Jason Aaron in the Godbusher stuff.
Okay.
He, there's just this random dude, and Null picks up his sword. Or, not Null, Gorn picks up Null's sword. And then, like, from there...
I think Donnie really made him something when he tied him in with the Venom symbiotes and stuff.
But, but Jason Aaron's still doing stuff with him. So, like, I feel like if you're reading all of the Jason Aaron books and the Donnie Cates stuff... Like, you're really getting this whole, like, life cycle of Null.
Well, I guess they're, like, really good friends. Yeah. So, like, they, like... Because, like, Ryan Stegman does a podcast called, like, Stegman and His Amazing Friends. And, like, he... Donny Cates on there a lot and, like, another guy. And they was... I was listening to a couple of their first episodes and they were talking about, like, how him and Jason Aaron are kind of fun... are friends, really good friends. And, like... They pick stuff up for me, you know, like, if they wrote something and kind of had, like, an idea and wasn't doing anything, one of them would pick it up in one of their books and, like, vice versa and stuff like that. So, yeah, anybody who's been a fan of, like, Venom or, like, the Carnage and stuff like that, I would suggest, like, because they're, like, they even do, like, some episodes will be, like, they just talk about, like, an issue of the book and go through, like, the what they did and stuff like that.
So, I think everything else I read... probably also read, so I'll pass it out to you.
Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Number 250.
250. Kind of, not really, but...
Maybe. Count annuals.
But no, because like not half of those, like over half of those weren't even Miles Morales' issues. Those were the Ultimate Peter's issues, but...
Yeah, I'm going to say, because Miles is only like 10 years old, right?
Yeah. But so this is his... birthday. Well, they skip a couple months.
What, Miles 1000 in like 4 years?
Yeah. They skipped a couple months from the previous issue after he got rescued by his dad and his uncle from the guy he was like torturing him. But I think the main reason that they skipped a couple months is because they're trying to speak because his mother's pregnant again. He's gonna have a little brother or sister. I can't remember which they said, but so that's why one of them. I think that's why they skipped a couple heads so they could just kind of speed the pregnancy along, you know, real quick. But it's his birthday, but they do this thing where they never really tell you how old he is because, like, they have a cake and like they have these balloons that's supposed to be like his age, but the one still has air in it, but whatever the other number was got deflated, so there's only a one there. Like, so they don't ever really comment on how old he is, because they've done like this weird like they aged him a lot, because in the Ultimate stuff he was still pretty young, and ever since they brought him over, all of his friends and stuff, they've been really wonky with that. But so they're having like a mini party for him and stuff like that, and he hears a ruckus in his room, so he goes and he runs up there, and it's Peter. He stops by to give him like a, you know, like a birthday card, but the only thing he could find was like for like a 78-year-old's like birthday card, like Granny's birthday card. So he gets him that because that's the only card that he can find, and tells him about how he got a tip about I forget the villain, but somebody was, you know, doing something at this warehouse, if you could check it out, because he's busy tracking down the syndicate and stuff like that. So he reluctantly goes, because this is the first time he's done anything like Spider-Man related since he got from being captured in the previous issue. But so when he goes there, he finds the Green Goblin from the Ultimate Universe, which is like this actual like big green goblin character. Like he morphs into it. It's just not like a guy on a glider. But he doesn't like, he can kind of like, when he sees him, he kind of remembers him, but he can't quite like place him. And they're fighting, and he ends up getting stopped by what looks like the giant man but he's called Ultimate. But he's like, he's big like the, like from there, but he also has a Cap shield, and he has an Iron Man gauntlet. So he's like, he has like all these different parts from the other Ultimate Universes, like heroes, but it's all just him. And he like steps on Miles to like, you know, put him off for a while, and him and the Green Goblin fly off. And then Miles, who, you know, is obviously then comes back to, you know, eventually goes back home when he, you know, wakes back up, and everybody's still waiting there for, you know, for his party, and, you know, he gets to have some cake. And again, they do a thing with that, because they have his, you know, happy whatever birthdays on the cake, but there's a slice of the cake missing, so that would be the cake that had, you know, part of the cake that had the other number on it. But then, so you get that little, like, happy ending with his friends and family, but then it cuts to the Kingpin, and they reveal who this Ultimate guy is, and it's the 616 Miles Morales from that second Spider-Man crossover that they did before Miles became, like, an actual mainstay. Because it was always, like, who was Miles' counterpart in this, and, you know, in the main 616, mm-hmm. And it was, like, this evil, like, he became, like, friends with a Kingpin in prison, and was, like, you know, and they became good friends. It was, like, kind of, like, one of his henchmen, but, like, I think when they were in prison, something happened, and, like, his face got all, like, scarred up. But, so, like, in that series, his girlfriend, the lady he really, like, died. So he went to the 616, or the Ultimate Universe, to try to find her, and apparently whatever happened over there didn't work. So now he's back in this universe with, you know, so I'm hoping
this is some really sounding complicated.
Right? No, not at all. But, see, I'm hoping now that they finally, you know, go through some of that stuff, because ever since Secret War and Miles came over, they've never really talked about any of that stuff. So I'm hoping maybe this will finally kind of uncomplicate some of that. But then Amazing Spider-Man, a little less complicated. So it opens up, Peter is, rehearsing lines with Mary Jane for this movie that they want to cast her in. And, you know, of course, when Peter's reading the lines, he's hanging upside down from the ceiling.
As you do.
Yeah, as he's known to do. But so he's telling her, he's like, you have to, you know, you have to do this. This is like, you know, this is really good. You have to take this opportunity. But of course, if she does, she has to go and fly over to California for like, I think like 2 or 3 months, yeah, something like that. So well, there'd be a part for a while.
She says that the part was written specifically for her.
Yeah.
So clearly there's something like, and I think this is probably what her miniseries is going to be dealing with, right? When she leaves for 2 months.
Well, I'm pretty sure the director is Mysterio.
Okay.
Because sense. I think all the strings are being pulled by that Kindred guy, the centipede guy. Then after that, like, he's spending some time with Aunt May. I forget what they were doing.
Painting?
Oh, yeah, they were, like, fixing up the shelter or something, I think. Like, you know, like, help fixing up the...
Well, so I think they cut to, like, 2 weeks later when she's, like, getting ready to go.
Yeah.
And so she's, like, getting ready to go and to fly out, and then he's like, okay, and he brought her like a bag of supplies that she needed, and then he splits to go help May, and he's like, I'll be right back, which is like,
yeah,
it's Spider-Man, so that's the case.
Because they needed his spider strength to close her luggage, to get that, because it was so stuffed, they needed his strength to do that. But of course, where he's there with Aunt May, his sister, you know, his newly found sister, shows up, who is a spy who needs his help to track her partner who's been kidnapped by the Chameleon because he has information about where a whole bunch of, like, Shiotech is at, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what he's looking for.
But he's looking for something, and this guy has that information.
So that he can, like, sell it to Hydra.
Something like that, yeah.
Or not Hydra. Who are the dudes in the yellow?
AIM.
Yeah. So, of course, they show up late. Chameleon's already done and got the information, and I think kills the guy, I think.
Yeah. They beat up all the AIM guys, and then the Chameleon's already left, and then she gets there, and she's like, what's your name?
Yeah.
No. So the assumption is that he's dead. But the thing that's weird, though, is when Peter goes back to Mary Jane and he's, like, telling her about it, he's not, like, grief-stricken or anything that this guy just died and that they, like, failed.
Yeah.
It's a little weird, so I was like, yeah, maybe he didn't
normally
die.
Yeah, he's normally... Maybe he's just messed up, maybe. But this is going on. Mary Jane calls Coral, who is another one of Spider-Man's exes while they were, like, breaking up, who's a police detective. But, like, they've kind of become friends because they both, even though they've both been
is
with...
Is she the one they went to the theater, she went with the theater with?
I do believe so,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's the same,
yeah. Yeah, I think so, yes. And she's the one who actually has to end up like, seeing Mary Jane off because he's occupied doing all that. And then, whenever he's telling her about it over the phone, or maybe it's maybe FaceTime.
Yeah. She gets off the... Yeah, she's in California. Yeah. He missed the flight. She's there now. He's telling her why he missed her. And then the big reveal is after he hangs up, they show what's in his hand.
Yeah, and it's May's... They flash back to when he's with May, and she gives her her like engagement ring that I'm assuming Ben gave her.
Yeah.
So that's where.
Yeah, so Peter was trying to get the ring from Aunt May so he could go propose before she left. Did,
yeah.
And.
And then couldn't do it.
So maybe they're gonna get married again. I kind of feel like this is just a teaser to kind of play back to that or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
and then within two, if you figure that Kindred guy's probably gonna do something to Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're gonna kill her, but like, you know, something like there's gonna be a lot of close calls before that, and then maybe like after they get past that, they might get married again.
What issue of Amazing Spider-Man is this?
29. Maybe they'll wait till the 50th issue.
Yeah. Well, it's the first time they got married, it's bi-weekly.
Yeah. And well, the first time they got married, that wasn't an annual, wasn't it?
It was an annual, I think, yeah.
But yeah, still pretty good.
I wonder when that was, because they might, like, time that for a 25th anniversary or something like
wasn't
that.
Wasn't it, like, in the mid-80s or something?
Like, it was, mid like, to, like, it was 85 or 86. I know I have it at home somewhere, but it was somewhere in the mid-80s.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was, like, mid to late 80s, I thought. Batman and the Outsiders. So this issue is mostly Black Lightning and Quintana. They're in a this like little city that's close to where Ra's al Ghul is set up, and it's kind of basically like. All, like, kind of, not necessarily villains, but, like, not good dudes are, like, all living within, like, this town, but it's, like, a good place where, you know, to get, like, information and different things like that, but they're trying to track down the girl that Ra's has kidnapped and is trying to brainwash and stuff like that, and they eventually do find her and fight her, and it seems like they convince her to come back, but then you find out that his big I forget the name of the guy, but it's kind of like his top assassin that he's been having, that the Outsiders have been fighting for this whole time, has showed up where Duke and Cassidy are, and that's kind of where the issue ends, is like where they're about to kind of like square off and fight him. Then the Flash 78. This issue picks off right where the one guy who is able to is like psychically his like use the force sage
force
sage force to
see there's a copyright on that
to make them the person who has a strength force and the steel force fight each other so he can escape so while he's out running around Barry takes the other two force holders back to the museum, Flash Museum hideout, Flash Cave thing that they just set up, so that they can try to figure out what to do with the Black Racer Flash trying to kill all the other force users, so the Speed Force will come back in to be as strong as it is, because now. Although these different forces still is slowly killing the Speed Force. But he's able to put the other two in these harnesses that can kind of hold them for a little bit while he races off to try to find the other person. But it turns out like he's on this train because he used to, you know, used his powers and they were able to track it. But also the Death Flash thing is also able to track him, so Barry tries to get there before it gets there, and there's this cool splash place where it runs past him, and Barry gets all upset because by the time he gets there, he finds that the Sage Force user is dead. But what I'm wondering is if that's just like a projection that he's put it in Barry's head at the end of the issue to try to escape again, so I'm not sure, but I've still been enjoying this after this part of the story, after the year one stuff, and the art in it is really nice, but I think that is it.
Detective Comics?
Yeah.
So, I liked it just fine. There's still, like, some goofy stuff.
Like, I don't know why he had to get in the mud if he was going to put on that. the outfit yeah. anyways. Like,
so this is the last part of the current arc where he, you know, they crashed on the island, and Deadshot's there, and Bruce escaped, and he ran into those maroon soldiers from World War II, and is using their help to kind of save the rest of the, you know, people are being held hostage by Deadshot. But yeah, at one point, like, he goes in the mud, like, all, you know, Schwarzenegger style, and saying he's using to, like, hide his identity, and then he puts on the outfit that has, like, the bat ears yeah. and the cowl. And one part I noticed, like, last issue they said that Bruce Wayne was the only that wasn't accounted for. And then this issue, they mentioned one point towards the end, like, when they were getting rescued, like, they're out trying to find other survivors, yeah. as if there's, like, more people. I'm like,
But yeah, because there wasn't a lot of people, like, on just, like, contradicting jet.
Yourselves. I wonder if they, like, did that, and they're like, oh, wait, we probably shouldn't have said he was the only person that was missing. Let's just put this in here and see if no one notices. But it's fine. It's not. It doesn't feel like a Detective Comics story, though. Like, there's no detective, you know.
And
no
they kind of, I don't know, like, they've always done before, they kind of alluded to, like, that Lucius knows about him being like Batman, but this one kind of almost made it just be like he knows.
I pretty much, I thought he knew.
Yeah, I always assumed he knew.
But I mean, like, they've never, like,
I think they have, man.
Have they?
Yeah, I think they made it pretty clear that Lucius is aware. Yeah, I don't know. I always thought that he was.
Because I figured they
were. I always thought Lucius and Alfred, you know, were the two that were always.
Yeah. Well, Alfred knows?
Well, I just, because, like, I always figured that they would give him more grief about, because with his son being Batwing, and that maybe they've done that in something that I haven't, you know, that I haven't read, but.
Lucius's son is Batwing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Luke Fox, yeah.
Ever since he became more, like, high-techy, kind of. Yeah.
But yeah, so it was all right. Like, it was a fun story. It just doesn't feel like a Detective Comics arc. I guess, I don't know. It's like, to start off so strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
been kind of, like, you know, dwindling.
I didn't like the whole Arkham Knight thing. I didn't even finish that.
Yeah, it's a shame because Tomasi's such a great writer and did such great things on other books. Just, I don't know. I really was excited for this.
To me, this felt like a file copy story. No, I didn't read the last part, but the whole thing, it was like, you know, especially with the World War II soldiers, it's like, dude, it's been, you know, what, 80 years since World War II. These guys aren't living in the jungle, you know.
And they kept on asking him, like, current, like the history stuff they would, but there was like, a couple, like, kind of like pop reference things, like they're asking, like, who was popular and stuff, and it's like, Batman wouldn't know, like, you know, the history stuff he would know, like the war stuff.
Fresh in Vietnam, maybe, but yeah, that just seemed weird.
But then he.
Even that.
Because they didn't. Yeah,
when Vietnam was 50 years ago.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, but I'd expect.
The age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These,
like,
guys.
They looked like they were 70 year old.
Yeah. Manner. Exactly. Yeah.
I've got my Rambo tickets already. I'm going to see it tomorrow.
Okay.
But there's your.
I'm pretty sure.
Right, no, but I'm just saying World War II is even worse.
I definitely want to see that, and I'm a fan, I'm pretty sure that's one you do not have to pre-purchase the tickets for.
Yeah.
Oh, I was literally the only ticket that, and I bought it yesterday, and the whole entire theater was available.
You got to choose. Side note, I saw an interesting article today talking about that. Where with people now pre-buying their tickets so they don't have to get there early, they know to go in 20 minutes after the time and skip all the trailers, and they're saying that actually by cutting back trailers, they might get people to actually watch the trailers again. I thought that was interesting.
See, I don't mind.
I like
right, but some people don't, where you know it's going to be 20 minutes and there's too
many.
What
they don't like
is the commercials.
It's all that commercial stuff.
Oh, the movie's supposed to start at 3 o'clock. At 3:15, the commercials will stop, and then trailers will begin. Like that's
nope. I get you.
Yeah.
But it was just funny. I was just like, I never thought about that. Pre-ordering your seat meant you didn't have to worry about getting there early to pick your seats. You could go right in.
If it's a theater where you can select a specific seat.
Right. No, I get it. But just, I think in some areas that's.
Have you ever thought of doing an ad on?
They approached me to do it. It was quite at least this was years ago. This was years, like, right when Iron Man hit. All of a sudden, they started going to the comic book stores. It was pricey.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know that people are going to notice, you know, just a placard, not even an ad. It was just, you know, one of those things in the before the ads thing. And it was like $1,500 a month or something. It was like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
A lot of books.
Yeah, I don't think you could.
I don't think it's going to generate. And basically what I said, you're not going to generate that much new business for me.
I don't know, because I think that, like, there are a lot of kids who probably go see, like, a Marvel movie, and they have no idea that the concept of a comic book store
but that would have to increase, like, for cost of goods sold. Now that would increase my business by 10 to 15%.
Yeah.
And I don't see that placard doing that.
At that price, yeah.
And yeah.
They would have to get there so much, early.
Even like a dentist's office that I see there. How do they swing that?
Well, because the dentist's money. Office, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But
you were looking like how much was actually billed versus how much you paid.
Yeah. But still, like.
Yeah. No, I just remember when she hit me with the number, I laughed. Like, you're out of your mind. It's like I had a guy come here to get me to get a new sign out front. It was like 3D, and it would like stick out so that you could see it from the side kind of thing. And I'm like, what you're saying? And he even came back the next day to show me a mock-up and stuff. And I'm like, and then he hit me with the number, and I just looked at him. I said, get out of my store. And he's like, well, what do you mean?
Bye-bye.
I said, get out of my store. You have wasted all my time. It was like $15,000 or something. Just ridiculous. I literally threw him out of the store. This was back before the change when we still had the chairs over there, and he was sitting in the chair doing all. And I just went, get out. You're insane.
You
I'm like,
those, like, light box signs.
Yeah, but I'm like, this is a comic book store. What are you thinking? You know. Okay, sorry. I apologize.
Justice League Odyssey. Anyone else read that? This book,
people are liking it,
so
but it's not
on,
selling well.
I was on the verge of dropping this book. Like, it was getting boring.
I picked up the first volume this weekend during the sale to check it out.
Yeah, it changes a lot because Josh Williamson's on it at first, and then it becomes apparent, like, the whole, like, that they had to change their story around, and it drags for a while. But then Dan Abnett's on it now, and the past, like, you know, three or so issues have been fantastic. Like, this is on a huge upswing right now. And
okay, good.
The last issue ended in a brutal way. Like, it was brutal, like, showdown between Jessica Cruz and Darkseid, the other members, you know, the Justice League, like Starfire and Cyborg and Azrael have all turned and are now, like, under the control of Darkseid. She's the one that's fighting against him. She, like, puts in all the effort she has left, her rings ran out of power, and Darkseid just kills her. Like, and book ends, she's dead. And you see her corpse in this issue, and there's this other, like, faction or group that's on this research station that was researching the Source Wall that is kind of in disarray now since the Source Wall was taken down. And there's Dexstar and this technician and this dude named Occult who's wearing this, you don't actually know who it is, but it must be someone you know because they make reference to the fact you don't know his identity multiple times, so it must be someone that's shocking in some way.
Okay.
And they're using this New Gods artifact to try and find anyone that could be a potential New God to summon them there to, you know, use them, again, I guess, against, like, Darkseid. And they use it, and it ends up summoning some other artifact. It summons Starfire's sister Blackfire, and it summons the corpse of Jessica Cruz. And they gather some of them because they all had this Omega, you know, energy radiation on them,
okay.
So they kind of thought they were, you know, New Gods. And the way they handled, first off, Dexstar was awesomeness, but, like, the way they handled Jessica Cruz and her kind of not being what you thought in terms of, you know, being dead. And she came back and just, like, walks in this room and is like a effing boss. And she walks in there and just the way they handle it, the way it sets her character up for future issues, it was just really cool. It was a really fun issue, so I enjoyed it a lot.
Cool.
I'm glad I did not drop it because I was
okay.
I was one issue away, I think. Tim and I were talking. I was like, one last issue, then I'm done.
So does it seem like Abnett's the steady writer on it now?
It seems like it, yeah. And the last one I mentioned is Red Sonja by Mark Russell. This has been a really good book, too. So the premise of the book is
her country is being raided by this conqueror named Dragan, and he has conquered, it seems like, you know, half of the known world, and he does it because he was given this prophecy that says he must continue to conquer lands. When he stops conquering, when he learns other things to conquer, then his life will, mm-hmm. will end. We found out several issues in that this prophecy was...
That was in that one shot. Yeah.
...given to him by, like, this false prophet who really just told him that to get him to leave his home kingdom, because this prophet and his wife kind of had something going on.
Well, something.
So, yeah. So, but he still thinks this is the case. So he's been trying to, you know, take over Hyrcania. Is it that's the name of the land, right? Hyrcania. And she's fighting back, but now they're at the point where, you know, she's like all these like scrappy tactics against him, and they've worked, but now they're fleeing his army. But as they are running, they're burning their own, you know, fields and grasslands behind them. So that way, they're trying to starve out his army. The further the deeper they go in chasing them. So this, they try to make an alliance with this tribe, like these forest dwellers. And the issue is really, you know, just a kind of an examination, like, you know, trusting those. That you may not be that familiar with, or may not have like a real reason to trust, and how that trust can you know fall apart so quickly. And it looks like they almost struck a deal, and then Dragon sets up a ploy to kind of break that fragile trust, and breaks their alliance just before, you know, as it was about to start, and ends up dooming the you know, Lord Oak and his faction, and her faction now seems rather hopeless as they're continuing to just, you know, drive through their own country, burning their lands, trying to figure out a way to combat Dragon's massive forces. But it's been really good. It's been a really, really cool story. Very Mark Russell feeling.
Is this a story. 12-issue mini?
This is ongoing,
yeah.
Yeah,
because I'm not... I'm a couple issues behind, but...
Yeah, I don't remember seeing a plan. I mean, yeah. You know, no Dynamites go forever, but... Yeah, I don't know that, you know, it doesn't say all.
I feel like Mark Russell's just like, let me get in, tell a story I want to tell, and then...
Well, you might be having fun with this, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Yeah.
And that's it for me.
To me?
Yeah,
nobody else read Event Leviathan number 4. Okay.
Yeah.
I honestly don't remember anything besides the last page, other than Batgirl was able to communicate she was in Leviathan.
So, most of the issue is them... I don't say like interrogating Superman.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. Bring Superman for questioning because he
confronted.
He went out to try and save Waller and confronted Leviathan and their forces, and they were questioning like how Leviathan was able to escape him, like how he wasn't able to capture
right.
Leviathan. And how he doesn't know like who Leviathan.
Was
yeah,
saying stuff and Bruce and Batman kept going enough. I enjoyed that.
Wasn't it Green Arrow that was the one that was like kind of telling him like?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, Green Arrow's like,
but
listen,
was,
kid, like I
yeah.
enjoy the snark
yeah.
as much as you know anyone else,
yeah.
but in this case,
yeah, I did. I enjoyed
sure,
that. Yeah, yeah, and then Batgirl got through to them. And
so we didn't know where Batgirl was at. Like we knew an offer was made to her, and then she disappeared after that. And we found out that supposedly she accepted the offer so she could infiltrate the organization, and she got a message through them. And just as you thought. Maybe she might know who Leviathan is. She does say it's a he at one point. That's all she really gives on. But as soon as they think that she might know who he is, then her signal cuts out. But it was an all right issue.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's going a little slow.
Yeah.
But the last page was reveal was that Lois has her own group of investigators. And it includes Constantine, Prizatana... Forget who all it was, but the big shocker was
Harvey Bullock was there.
Yeah,
with me.
Yeah. But the big shocker was Elongated Man, who we have not seen since he died in 52. So that was very interesting.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
52.
So yeah, he died in 52.
Right.
So very interesting.
The Superman thing made me remember that I saw something about Superman's supposed to be giving up his secret identity
yep.
or something.
Yep. I think part of that, I don't know if it was the plan, but part of that is because in action, where Lois was caught kissing Superman, so everybody thinks she's cheating. So I was listening to, I think it was a Comics Conspiracy podcast this morning. They were saying that hopefully that's just a side effect.
That's what I
saw. They had a bigger plan for this, and that's just that they didn't do it just for Bendis. That there was something. So,
yeah.
Gotham City Monsters. Yeah. I had high hopes for this. The first half of it I enjoyed, and then it just turned into kind of a fairly generic. The bad guys coming back. The cult is bringing back the bad guy, and he's resurrected. And now they need to take him on.
I almost bought it because I like the characters. And I thought, you know what? I don't know if this is. I'll wait and see.
Yeah, maybe it'll get good, but it feels just kind of a little generic. Yeah.
Even with your Frankenstein?
Even with my Frankenstein. I enjoyed Frankenstein in it. But
it's not Doug Mankey's Frankenstein.
It is not Doug Mankey's Frankenstein. But still, the same costume and everything. So, and then Powers of X.
I read that.
Yep.
This was basically... I'm assuming it's in the... It was in the past because it was Xavier in a wheelchair.
This is that X-Zero. It's the Powers, so it's
right.
X-Zero and the...
Right. But it's Magneto and Xavier going to Sinister because they knew that Sinister was collecting the DNA of all the mutants. And there were a whole bunch of different Sinisters. And that got a little confusing because they're talking to one, and all of a sudden another Sinister shoots the head off that one, and he starts talking. And the one thing was great where the one guy just absolutely loved his cape. He's like, I need to get a cape. And then all of a sudden another Sinister shows up, and he has that cape that he always had with the strips and stuff.
Well, first the other Sinister... like says, oh yeah, you'd look great in a cape. And he's like, I've always thought that. And he's like, well, why didn't you tell me?
That was a little all over the place. Yeah. The best part of the issue was these little sinister secrets, and it's like a little gossip column type thing that was pretty hilarious. And you wonder how that's all going to play into different things.
Yeah. But they, it seems like they go, he's collecting all the DNA. And they just go and say, hey, why don't you focus on the mutants?
Right. And then gave him their DNA, I think. Or that I think they went there with the plan to do that.
They're gonna help him get all the mutant DNA.
Yeah.
And but then it's kind of the Sinister that they're talking to gets his head blown off. And then another Sinister comes up and he says, I'm a mutant.
Right.
Right. So Sinister hasn't been a mutant. Previously.
Yeah, I don't know.
But now there's a version of Sinister.
Okay, that is a mutant.
So that's like a reveal.
Just roll with it, Pat.
Yeah,
just
I always thought he was whatever.
I don't know.
But it seems like, to me, that the reason they're asking for the DNA is
for the
pod people who we saw in the very first issue. In the very first issue, he... Oh, you...
I don't know.
You've read ahead?
I don't know. Maybe.
Colin knows more, he's letting
on. I'm 1 week ahead, that's all. I read today's issue. Okay. So that's all I read. Sorry, I only got in 5 this week. I promise to do better.
Wrong.
No, you're not.
The other thing that was cool in that issue, they talk about the origin of Krakoa.
And the language.
And the two Cypher. Islands, the two, and one went into another dimension along with a bunch of other mutants, and that Apocalypse had been there from the beginning. It's all coming together.
It's all coming together.
It is. No, it is. This today's issue was a big issue. Big issue. So
I feel like they've all been really good.
Yeah, a lot of them have felt
like okay, this
that
is stuff
one,
I need to know so that stuff
but
I already read makes more sense.
Yeah, but that Powers one felt a little fillerish.
I feel like all the Powers stuff.
Yeah.
Especially because of the format where it's like...
Especially after the last two houses where there were definite story progression and then these couple Powers and you're like, wait, what? Huh? Yeah, they're just like little pieces, but it's all... I give Hickman credit. It's all coming together.
It is all coming together and like...
Where the new series are going to go, I have no clue.
Yeah.
But this story is starting to make sense.
So what's coming out next week, Colin?
There are books coming out next week. It's a huge week next week.
Huge.
The first thing I always do is go to the invoice amount, and it was big. You're like, what the heck? And then I look at total units shipped, and it's normally around 1,400, 1,500 units. next week is 2,100 units. And then I look, oh, okay, so that must mean, you know, like I'll see that if there's, you know, 100 copies of some giveaway book and things like that. Those numbers get things. There isn't. It's just a big week of books. We have Absolute Carnage. Well, yeah, I have a fourth print of number one, a second print of number two. Miles Morales, number two of Absolute Carnage, is coming, along with second print of... But Action Comics 115, I've really been enjoying Action. Spider-Man 30 ties into Absolute Carnage. We have Avengers 24 continuing on the Ghost Rider story. Avengers Loki Unleashed, which looks like a file copy story. Batman Curse of the White Knight is next week. Batman Superman is next week. I really like that first one. Bloodshot number one is next week, Josh. The new run of that.
Tim Seeley.
Let's see. Yay, Boys Omnibus Volume 3. I've been missing those for a long time. Bronze Age Boogie number 6 for Dave.
I think you're out of 4.
Bronze Age Boogie?
No. Boys Omnibus number 4.
Oh, I just...
I think they all got sold today. Yeah, that's okay.
As soon as I order 5, they'll stop selling. That's the concern. So I get 3, and then reorder is needed. As soon as you go nuts, you die. Detective Comics 112, so I'm guessing the next story arc beginning. Dr. Mirage number 2, again for Josh.
Nice.
New series of Ether. That's been an interesting little one. Frog Catchers graphic novels coming out next week. That is an original one by Jeff Lemire. Gods and Gears is a new one from Alterna. Harleen next week. That is the Harley Quinn origin book, Black Label, by Stefan Sajic, is coming out next week.
Speaking of, in the app, when the order is there, it says placed.
Okay.
It's the status.
So, Jim Henson, Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. This is a prequel.
Some did show up that way.
To Dark Crystal. Way. Yeah, but checked. You're good. You're good. Yeah, I love this John Wick action figure that I ordered last September is coming, so it only took a year to handcraft this baby. I can't wait to see the detail. Hand-whittled.
Is that a Diamond Direct?
It is. I think it's a Diamond Select, yeah.
Okay. I'll bet you it ages worse than the actual can or
yeah. Dave, we got Jughead Time Police number 4.
Anything ages worse than him. Yeah. He looks great.
He's a vampire.
If you missed out on King Thor, I have a couple more coming in next week. New Mutants War Children. I am hugely excited about this book. This is a one-shot, but it's written by Claremont, drawn by Bill Sienkiewicz.
Wow.
And it kills me that they're doing variant covers on this. I'm like, who's not going to want the Sienkiewicz cover? That's insane to me.
Maybe they won't want you to get multiple covers.
Maybe, but I only ordered a couple of the variants because I'm like, come on. But I'm very excited about that one. Omni, that's the Humanoids one. Number 2 is coming out next week as well. Plot number 1. I believe that this is one of the comics omnibus books. I got to read this one. It was really good. It is by, this is a Vault one. And I forget who wrote it, but it's a nice, solid horror book where parents are killed and the uncle, who really doesn't know the kids, has to take them. And he takes them back to their ancestral home, which is kind of haunted. Good old school horror.
I pre-ordered this one, and I have no recollection of doing
okay.
that.
Okay, yeah, but it was good. It was good. I read that. I got to read the PDF of it. Powers of X5, so we'll keep moving right along. New previews next week. Red Sonja Vampirella, Betty and Veronica, Dave. This might be the last one. It's number 5. Relics of Youth. This is another one from Vault. Basically, kids are compelled to go to this island. Like, some of them... For some reason, they have, like, they wake up and they have, like, this tattoo, but only fellow people who have it can see it. Nobody else can see it. And they're compelled to go to this island, and then it sounds like almost like a Lord of the Flies type situation. The variant cover, because Vault always does, like, a classic comic variant cover. The variant cover on this one is Deadly Class number 1. The plot, the one variant, is House of Mystery 82. So it's, like, a small thing. So that's cool. Sarah and the Royal Stars, number 3. I know you like number 1. Did you like number 2?
I haven't read it yet. Okay. I'll have to before next week.
Yeah, because 3 is next week. Safe Sex is coming out. I think this is from Image.
It's been out for a while.
This is this was originally a Vertigo book that they decided not to do, and apparently it's written by some super raunchy writer, and it's just going to be an all-sex book.
So get your pre-orders in now, right?
Yeah. You're not going to believe it. Shazam 7 is coming out. It's Merkel. So, yeah, that's finally showing up. Let's see. Star Trek Discovery Aftermath number 2. Star Wars AOR Kylo...
Are you reading that one?
No.
I'm only reading year 5.
Yeah. I read the first Discovery series and I was kind of like, meh.
Okay.
So.
I haven't watched. Kylo Ren, which I think is going to be the last of these. I don't know if there's any more coming. None that I remember. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order Dark Temple number 2. That's the video game one. Target Vader 3, which has been doing well. Strike Force number 1. This is the Marvel one with... team is really weird. I want to say it's like Blade and Angela and Brother Voodoo or something. It was a really weird team. But that's coming out, new number 1 from Marvel.
Is this the one you were talking about that when I was talking about Moon Knight, you said there's one coming out this week?
No, no, we're almost there.
Oh, okay.
Tommy Gun Wizards, I really like number 1, so number 2 is coming out. Transformers Galaxies, and apparently... something happened, like, early in the history of Transformers, and there were these, like, these terraforming Transformers, and this is their story. I don't know. I don't know Transformers. And then, no, this is the last
are
one.
Are they cars? Are they robots? I don't know.
I don't know. Exactly. Thank you. Do they turn into lions? I'm confused.
Do not confuse them with Ultron. Jesus Christ.
Well, the Beast Wars Transformers turn into lions,
there you go.
Right?
See?
Saber-toothed cats. They're prehistoric, right?
I don't know. I don't know Transformers. But this is the one.
Yes, they're dinosaurs, and is there a saber-tooth one in the Beast Wars ones?
I bet Lord Retail would know.
He absolutely would know.
Yeah, but
he's probably screaming at his... he's in his car right now, screaming. But this is the one for you, Pat. Wolverine Annual. Number 1 is next week. That guy, okay. He has never had his own book. He's not even worthy of having his own book. So
to be fair, he did spend, like, what, 3 years locked up in carbonite?
Well, right. And then he had hot claws. That was one thing I enjoyed on the Comics Conspiracy one. They were talking about, like, did they ever resolve the hot claws thing?
I think
they
just dropped it.
Yeah. Phoenix Force.
Oh, right? Was it? I have no idea.
And then
it went away.
Well, that was in the Watch stuff, right? I think, isn't that different than, I don't know,
it was like in Thor that they like were in the future and he was there and he had Phoenix Force claws.
I remember
they teased it in something.
I don't remember
where it ever resolved. Yeah. Okay. Maybe when his own series, he gets his own series again someday.
Which I'm surprised that wasn't one of like the launch books for the X-Men.
No, I don't wait them. I don't blame them for waiting for like wave 2. Ooh.
Well, yeah, no, I know. I'm just surprised.
But they need an A-list for wave 2. So yeah,
they killed that with all those miniseries because it was get ready to return with Wolverine.
Yep.
And seriously, he's coming back now this time.
Yeah, he's really coming back. And then Wolverine and the Infinity Watch. And it was like, wait, what? But that's what's coming out next week. Book club is next Friday. Captain Ginger, be there or miss out, because that was a fun book. Dave heartily recommends Captain Ginger.
It's fantastic. I can't wait for the season 2 to begin, after that last page.
Yes, that cliffhanger.
So is this first volume all that there is?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Get in on the ground floor.
Yes. It's Captain Month, so anything with a captain. Previews orders are due next Thursday, so please get them in on the hub or let me know what you want. And I think that's about all we got. As always, website's PittsburghComics.com, Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. So, Brandon.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.